Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. America may not be prepared for the next pandemic. A bipartisan panel of former members of Congress and former administration officials is working to analyze the nation's biodefense capabilities. Former South Dakota Senator Tom Daschle serves on the Blue Ribbon Study Panel on Biodefense. The panel is co-chaired by Senator Joe Lieberman and Governor Tom Ridge. I spoke with Tom Ridge, former Secretary of Homeland Security and former Governor of Pennsylvania, yesterday. Well, let's start with the fact that 100 years after the Spanish flu outbreak, we are more vulnerable than ever. How can that be? Put that in perspective for listeners, please.
Well, you know, I think it's very important to put the challenge of the biological threat. Mother Nature over the years, over the decades, has thrown some really nasty diseases in our direction. It was in 1918, the Spanish flu, right after World War One, took as many as 50 to 100 million lives around the globe. And so you fast forward, this is the 100th year. It's not an anniversary or nothing to celebrate, but it's a reminder, particularly now with the globalization of disease and the fact there's more contagions out there than we probably appreciate, that as a country, we are not as prepared 100 years after this Spanish flu epidemic. We're not as prepared as we need to be for the next pandemic. And that is why, as Senator Lieberman, Senator Tom Daschle, whom you know, and others, and I were part of a bipartisan panel, former members of Congress, got together over 2 years ago and said, look, the threat is real. The risk is meaningful. We don't have the public policies to deal with it, to reduce that threat. We don't have any leadership that we need in Congress. We don't have the budget we need in Congress. So let's take a look at what we've done in the past to make sure that we've done everything we can as a country to be prepared, whether the biological threat comes from a terrorist, whether it comes from a nation state, and we know there are some of our enemies that have biological weapons, or the concern that I have even more so is whether Mother Nature throws us something that we're not prepared for. So that's the purpose of the study. And again, the conversation I'm having with you isn't to alarm the public, but you just need to know we need to do more as a country to prepare. And it's particularly important to talk about it 100 years, on the 100-year anniversary, when a pandemic that Mother Nature threw at us took over 50 million lives around the globe.
I think it's hard for people to even imagine that kind of loss. When we see things like regular influenza or the Zika virus or Ebola, and we see them, you know, we get nervous and then they're contained, that gives us a false sense of security. How serious could something like that become? How seriously should we take the threat?
Well, you know, I really appreciate the thoughtful description that you just offered to your audience. Fortunately, we've been able to identify them, and we have been able to contain them. But even the SARS pandemic, remember, was in 2002. There was a huge economic loss. The global economy probably suffered 30 billion. People lost their lives. The Ebola was a huge economic loss. And the one story I think is important to relate to you, Ebola was a pathogen about which I became aware during the first couple of months while I was in the White House as the assistant to the President for Homeland Security. We were worried that that's something that the terrorists could potentially use, infect terrorists, and with the globalization of travel, all of a sudden you may have a major healthcare crisis. Well, they had to scramble to deal with it, even though, and they finally did. They finally did globally, but they weren't as prepared as they needed to be. And it's just a lesson that Mother Nature is not dormant. She's constantly mutating the strains of influenza out there. And frankly, we're not as prepared for it as we should be. And we made very specific recommendations to the Congress of the United States, and bipartisan recommendations that are slowly taking form on the Hill. Again, it's a serious problem. We can manage this risk, but we're spending billions and billions of dollars, and none of us on the panel think we're spending that money as effectively as we could to help Americans prepare for a potential healthcare crisis of this magnitude.
Let's talk about some of those plans and some of those financial challenges. What we're looking, we're talking about strategy and public policy and some of the challenges of yearly budgeting. Let's talk about where the situation is now with maybe some money, you know, not being coordinated. People aren't quite sure if there's services being duplicated. How do you look at that big picture of what's happening from a public policy standpoint and start sorting through it to make effective change?
Well, if we drew a chart so your audience could see it, they'd find, first of all, there are probably over 50 potential political appointees in multiple agencies that have some authority or jurisdiction over the very complicated world of healthcare as it deals with biological threats. So you've got 4 or 5 dozen specific positions. You have multiple cabinet agencies and subgroups that have bits and pieces of responsibility to deal with this kind of threat. There is no unified budget. There's no leadership, number one. There's no one person that the Congress or the people could hold accountable to develop a strategy, to set priorities, to focus the dollars. Programs have expanded over the past 15 or 20 years. There's more and more money in it. But nobody can conclude that because of more programs and more money, we're better protected. And frankly, the panel would argue, in fact, we've gone in the other direction. So the purpose was to say to Congress, look, it is a real risk. It's an absolute risk, whether Mother Nature, terrorist nation state, and you must be in the business of doing everything you can to reduce that risk. And the way you're going about it today in the United States, through the Congress of the United States, is not effective. We need to be more effective. It's not the dollars, it's where we're spending the dollars, the oversight, everything else associated with it. It's just not working. We're not prepared.
Period. Right. Are there ways to look at the regular budgeting process and say there are some things that need to be proactive and preventative and long-term as far as dollars so that the research and development can be done, you know, for prevention? How does that to change?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we've got, first of all, for your audience, if they're at all interested, there's a website called biodefensestudy.org. It's not exactly bedside reading, but you might have a couple of listeners that say, I'm kind of curious to see what this bipartisan panel is doing. But the fact is that there are very specific recommendations dealing with leadership and oversight and just, first of all, getting their arms around what is being spent, where it is being spent. Is enough money being spent on medical countermeasures? Are we spending enough money? Is the intelligence community focused enough on gathering information globally? It's what some of these nation states are doing. How much interaction are we having with the agricultural community? I mean, there's for years, for decades, we separated animal health from human health, and the scientists will tell you they're connected. They're interconnected. Most of the pathogens that are contagious originate within animals. They may be mutated, maybe just passed on, and humans pick them up, and all of a sudden you've got a contagion. So it's thinking in terms of public health. Don't separate human and animal. Think of that together along with environmental circumstances. Set priorities. And so it's a very comprehensive approach toward a very complex problem. And I guess the goal is let's get leadership, let's get focus, let's set priorities. We think we've provided a blueprint for the Congress to do just that.
What's the role of private sector investment as you see it?
Well, it's a great question. There are some incentives. It exists in some of these programs to encourage the private sector to do more research and development. But frankly, we concluded we need to do more. And again, we're not talking huge dollar amounts, but we need to be a little bit more focused, particularly on some of the strains we think some of our adversaries are working on. We need to be more focused on using the private sector to help train and work with our emergency service personnel. So there are incentives in the existing, in many of these programs out there, but they're not really, they haven't been very effective. And again, the private sector is ultimately going to be the answer. The private sector is going to provide the antidotes, they're going to provide the vaccines, even disease identification. I mean, since I was in as secretary, there's something called BioShield. It was a best effort over 15 years ago to be able to detect some potential biological threats and pathogens that may be circulating through the air, may be injurious. We're still using the same technology. Mm. And frankly, it's not all that effective. It's not very effective at all, candidly. And so those are the kinds of things we need to incentivize the private sector to spend a lot more time on.
We talked earlier about the globalization and how connected we are in this world, and then we also touched on the Ebola outbreak. There was a time where we would have felt, maybe wrongly so, insulated from that. But now that everything can travel so much more quickly. So talk a little bit, if you will, about the role of helping other countries when they have an outbreak, or what's our role as a global player in biodefense? Does it matter outside our borders?
Well, I'm so very pleased. Did you read the report? It sounds like as if you did.
Yes, sir.
too deep into this conversation. Well, thanks for doing that. I mean, the fact of the matter is these diseases are global. And the United States has pulled back from its involvement on several world organizations that deal with these diseases. And, from a public policy point of view, I believe that for America, for political reasons, economic reasons, health reasons, we should be more engaged in the world, not less engaged. You can't build Fortress America. You can't keep diseases out of our country, because diseases don't know politics, they don't know geography, they don't know political boundaries. So the globalization of disease is very important. And working with countries around the world to ensure that once they've identified a disease, that the rest of the world is notified about it. To working with countries around the world to come up with antidotes and vaccines to deal with some of these diseases. We have slowly pulled back from engaging some of these international efforts to identify and combat global disease. And one of our recommendations, a couple of recommendations, and thank you for reading the report, says, come on, America, you're a global leader. We've got the best scientists. We've got the best research facilities. As a country, we probably spend more money, we're not spending it effectively, in trying to deal with this issue, but it'll ultimately help us. We're far more engaged globally. So it's and the globalization of disease. A terrorist group could inoculate individuals with a contagious disease. So you travel to the United States, it's spread by human-by-human contact, it might be several days before the symptoms of that disease ever become apparent. By then, it'll be too late. And so, again, trying to engage, it's not hyperbole, I'm not raising the alarm, but the fact of the matter is, disease is global, and we should be more engaged around the rest of the world to try to identify the threat and deal with it.
If my history is correct, sir, you were the first person to be Secretary of Homeland Security. This is not the first time that you've had to sort of look at the big picture of something and figure out important first steps that were urgent. How long does it take for progress to be made in this area?
Well, before I was secretary, and even before I was the governor of Pennsylvania, I happened to be privileged to serve in the House of Representatives for 12 years, and government moves at glacial-like speed. I mean, government moves slowly, and in recent years, the hyper-partisan environment, I think, has had an impact even on the pace of change. But what we've seen so far is that the Congress has been willing, one, to become better informed, two, beginning to take our recommendations seriously, and in fact, we've seen some good work and support of some of our recommendations. And so, if it takes us the next couple of years to get most, certainly not all, of these recommendations implemented, we'll consider it to be a success. When Senator Lieberman was kind enough to give me a call and say, "Tom, let's kind of co-chair this effort," I said, "We both agreed. A study for the purposes of a study that ends up gathering dust as another study wasn't something we were interested in." So We've been able to rally the support of all the panel members. There are six of us, very involved, 3 hours, 3 days, and rally the support of members on the Hill. So we're making, I think we're making very positive, incremental progress, but I think this will be a great discussion to have a couple years from now. We're pretty optimistic.
And you also mentioned leadership and the leadership that's required to sort of move something like this forward. Do you feel, and that comes with the panel, of course, but do you feel that leadership exists in Washington with the president, the vice president, leaders of Congress? Do you feel like that's in good hands, or is there more work to be done there?
More work to be done. One of the more striking, and again, bipartisan recommendations of the panel was the individual we thought should oversee this. We think the risk is significant enough from multiple sources that this is an effort that should be directed out of the vice president's office. This is an effort that the vice president should oversee. He should oversee a coordinating council that includes the relevant agencies, but also the academic world, the medical community, and the private sector. So if you start with that, you get Congress to come up with a, develop a public health and bioterrorism, biodefense strategy. You get a unified budget, the money scattered all over the place. If you have someone like the vice president working with the Office of Management and Budget, I don't mean to be giving you all the details, but we want somebody that can help set priorities and then make sure the dollars are going to where they will do the most good. And right now, the structure doesn't exist that way. So the panel said, let's put this in the vice president's shop and let's make all these other recommendations. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we need somebody with the authority, and we couldn't think of a person that had a better vantage point on oversight than the vice president. Whether or not we get that remains to be seen. Right now, we're not making much progress there, but we're making some considerable progress on some of the other recommendations.
And let's close with this. Is there a role here for the average voter here in South Dakota? Is it time to reach out to your congressional delegation? Is it time to just to wait and see what happens? What do you think that the average citizen voter in South Dakota should do? They can go to biodefensestudy.org and look at some of the details here. But is there an action that you would recommend taking?
Well, thank you very much for raising that. You know, number one, I would hope that some of your audience would be interested enough, in spite of the fact, listen, you and I both know that going to work, raising a family, dealing with all those other responsibilities, you don't have a luxury of more time is not something a lot of people have. But if they wanted to become a little bit better informed about this issue, it's the biodefensestudy.org. And then based on what they read, a call, a note, a letter, a town meeting, ask the senator, ask the congressman. I'm aware of this study. It's a serious risk. You have serious people working on it. It does potentially threat our public health, our economic impact. Matter of fact, the panel is hosting an event today at the United States Chamber of Commerce because the potential devastating impact on the economy in the event of a pandemic is something that the business community and the private sector has to be aware of as well. So that's what I would encourage. Become better informed if you're so inclined. I think you ought to have an opportunity to interact with your representatives, ask them what they're doing in furtherance of the panel's recommendations.
Tom Ridge, former governor of the state of Pennsylvania, former Secretary of Homeland Security under President George W. Bush, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for all the time you've given me. It's been a pleasure having a conversation with you.